Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and this morning I'm going to be touching on the topic of the security of the believer, and I'm going to talk about a few things, and if you have any questions afterwards, you know, if I leave you with some questions, you can come talk to me. I think it is really important for us to take the messages that we hear here, take them home with us, right? It's not like, oh, we heard it there and we leave it there. And we get on with our day and we don't think about it the rest of the day. I think what, you know, you hear, you should be talking about. You should be, and if you ever have questions or doubts, you should go to somebody and talk to them and say, hey, I'm wondering about that, what you said. If you hear anybody say something that leaves you with a little bit of a question or a doubt, it's good to go talk to them afterwards. Don't keep those doubts. Don't keep those questions in. You need to talk about them and you know, figure things out. We're going to go ahead and pray before we get started. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love towards us. Lord, we thank you for the way you reveal yourself through your word. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. Lord, we praise you for Etienne and the confession that he has made in you, and we thank you that he wants to follow you in baptism. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless his life, Lord. I pray that you'd bless his endeavor to reach his family. Please be with him, Lord, and encourage him. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for your word. We ask that you'd open our understanding, that our hearts would be willing to receive your word, and that you'd give me wisdom and clarity to speak this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So like I said, I do want to touch on the topic of the security of the believer. And, you know, we all, I think all of us, if not just most of us, we encounter the question and we ask, can I lose my salvation? I think that's just something that comes up. I think somebody may ask us, or we ask ourselves, can I lose my salvation? And this is something that people ask, and Christians ask themselves. And I think a lot of Christians are actually worried about this. This is something that causes anxiety, and some people are just worried that we can lose our salvation. In fact, it's something that may constantly bother some Christians, that they're always scared that they might lose their salvation. And they're wondering, you know, if I do this, and what if I do that, and do I have to do it again? Do I have to ask again? And losing your salvation is a concerning question. A lot of people have that question. Can I lose my salvation? But truthfully, when I think about it, I don't think this is the correct question. I don't think this is the right question we should be asking. I think that this is not the question that we should be, that should be troubling us. Imagine a man that's traveling by train, and he's got anxiety on traveling a train. He's scared of traveling on a train. He's scared that the doors are going to close on him, so he jumps in really quick. As he's traveling, he's scared that it's going to derail, and so he's nervous. He thinks, you know, maybe the bridge isn't finished and we're just going to fly off the rails, you know, and so he's just nervous about this train ride. Only to end up finding out that he was on the wrong train and ended up in the wrong destination. That's kind of how I feel about this question. Can I lose my salvation? Everybody's worried about, can I lose my salvation? Can I lose my salvation? Is salvation possible to lose? And we're thinking about losing our salvation when that's not really the question you should be worrying about, because the question, can I lose my salvation, really shouldn't put you through any worry. That question should be answered automatically. The question you should worry about is, am I in Christ? Do I have saving faith? Do I have faith that is real? Those are the questions you should be asking yourself and you should be concerned with. But can I lose my salvation is not a question that should worry you, because can I lose my salvation is touching the work of Jesus Christ. And that is something that you cannot lose. That is something that cannot be lost. So there's a fallacy, I think, in this question, and that is the question of losing your salvation elevates your own efforts and your own behavior, while it undermines the work of Jesus Christ. If you're so worried about the question, can I lose my salvation, you better reconsider what you're thinking about. You need to reconsider, right? If you're constantly fearful of losing your salvation, then you need to check and see if you're on the right train. You shouldn't be worried about losing your salvation, because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ and the work that He did, and there is no question about if that works or if that's going to be full to the end. Salvation is a question that should be answered very quickly by recognizing what Jesus Christ is and who He is and what He offers. So I do just want to make this argument so that we all, you know, we're all clear on it, that salvation is not something that you can lose, because salvation depends on Jesus Christ and His work. And I'm just going to mention a couple points on that, just so that it's clear, right? And these are 9 points, not that many, but I just want you to be clear that salvation in Jesus Christ is not something that you need to question or be fearful about, because that is something secure, because it speaks to the completeness of Jesus' sacrifice. You read Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews along, it talks about the completeness of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed Himself once, and that's enough. There's nothing else needed. Nothing else needed to be saved. Not like the old sacrificial system they used to have, where they had to continue offer different things and continue doing that. That's not how it works with Jesus. Jesus offered Himself one time, and it's enough to save every single person that finds himself in Jesus Christ. Salvation is secure because of the power of Jesus' resurrection. If you read 1 Peter 1:3 and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you recognize that the power of Jesus Christ when He rose from the dead shows us and gives us an assurance of Jesus and His power to save you. See, Jesus Christ promises you eternal life, but the thing that secures this, the thing that recognizes that you can actually have complete security in the power of Jesus, is because He Himself has eternal life. And He rose from the dead, proving that He can give you eternal life when He offers it to you. The faithfulness of Jesus' promise. Think about all of Jesus' promises and the promises that He gave. John chapter 10, think about how He says that nobody will pluck them out of My hand. That is a promise that you have of Jesus Christ that you can just grab onto, hold onto, and you never have to question it. You don't have to question if you're going to accidentally fall out of Jesus' hand. He has you, and you are secure in Him. There's no question about it. You can put your fears to rest when you are trusting in Jesus Christ. The assurance of His intercession, He intercedes for us. You can read Hebrews 7 verse 25. The unfailing love of Jesus Christ, right? Romans chapter 8, the ending of that is just amazing. Who can separate us? Nobody. It just is not possible. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually lives within you. It's a seal. And that's just something that can give you security in your salvation. The authority and longevity of Jesus' word, right? His words are eternal, they're true, and they're unchanging. You can trust in them. The justification through Jesus' righteousness. You gotta recognize what salvation is when you are justified through Jesus Christ. He's actually giving you a righteousness that isn't yours. It's not something that you obtain by keeping the law. It's a righteousness that is His, that he actually just gives to you. He applies it to you, and you're justified before God. This is all dependent on the work of Jesus Christ, and your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we can't ask if we can lose our salvation. That's not the right question. If you are saved, there is no losing it, because this is Jesus' work.
That's right.
There's no changing that. And the last one I want to mention is the power of the new birth. And I think this sometimes kind of gets overlooked when we're talking about the security of the believer, the security of salvation. Can I lose salvation? Well, no, you can't, because you need to understand the power of the new birth. Let me read a few things for you. John chapter 3, you'll probably know it. You don't even have to go there. But Nicodemus asks Jesus Christ, right? How can he enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says that he has to be born again. Born again. You have to be born again. This blows Nicodemus' mind. He's like, what does that mean? How am I supposed to be born again? It is something very difficult. Just so you know, it is something that is impossible for you to accomplish on your own. You cannot be born again by your own strength. Okay? You have to be born again, and this has to be something that God does. John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This is powerful. Even to them that believe on his name, and he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a transformation in your life that happens through Jesus Christ and his work, where you are actually born again. You are born, you have been transformed by the power of Christ to become the Son of God.
Amen.
That is amazing. That is an amazing transformation that shouldn't be taken lightly. Peter tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, you're born again. And we have more verses to show there. And we can go through a lot of these, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You realize what God has actually done when he gave you salvation, when he saved your soul. This is a transformation. This is a completely new thing. He calls you a new creature. Just like creation, it's something new that you are actually created in him.
Amen.
It's a new creation. And so the point of this is that for that to be undone would require more power than the one that made you his son. In other words, for you to become the Son of God required a great deal of power. God had to actually transform your life. And that's not something you can just switch on and off. That's something that is secure. When a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, that's it. It doesn't go back to being a caterpillar. It's something that has actually transformed it. And that's the way it is with salvation. Once you are saved, you are in Jesus Christ and you are saved by the power of his work, you are a son of God. And there is no changing that now. That is something that God has done and transformed in you.
Amen.
And there's no changing it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So for everybody that is actually in Jesus Christ, you should not be worried about losing your salvation, because salvation is a work of Jesus Christ and it is complete. It is fulfilled in you. And, you know, we haven't seen the final stages of it because we're not with him yet at this present time. But there's no changing the fact that he has actually given you a new life in him. Now, so that is for those that are saved. Salvation is not something that should cause you anxiety or fear. Salvation is a question. Can I lose my salvation? You can answer that once and be content with the answer. No, you cannot lose your salvation, because salvation is of Jesus Christ and dependent completely, entirely upon his work and not dependent upon you. And see, whenever you start questioning, can I lose my salvation, you're thinking that you have something to do with it. That you have some way of actually participating in that process. And that is where the mistake is, I think, in asking that question. Can I lose my salvation? That's why that should not be the question that we are concerned with. That is not the question we should be worried about. If you're constantly fearful of losing your salvation, like I said, you need to reconsider. The real question should be, am I in Christ? Or is my faith real? Those are real questions. So those are questions that are reasonable, and they should be examined, and they can be answered. Now, this is not an offensive question. You know, we ask a lot of people, and I ask them, are you saved? And it's like, everybody always gets offended at that. Are you saved? Oh, how dare you ask me that? But the truth is, that's not an offensive question. You shouldn't ever really be offended if someone asks you if you're saved.
Amen.
You could ask me if I'm saved 1,000 times, and you still wouldn't offend me, because the truth is, the fact that I'm saved surprises me more than anybody else. In fact, it would probably do you good to ask yourself this question every day in the morning: are you saved? And if you can answer that question, yes, I am, then you're going to have a good day. Don't be scared of asking, am I saved? And don't be offended if somebody asks you, are you saved? Are you a believer in Jesus? Are you in Jesus Christ? Do you have eternal life? Are you born again? Don't be offended by these questions. These are good questions. In fact, Paul tells you to ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
So, this is something that actually should be questioned. Are you in Jesus Christ? Is your faith real? This should be a question, because claiming to be saved doesn't mean that you are. Claiming to be in Jesus Christ, just claiming it, doesn't mean you are. In fact, remember, Jesus tells many people that come to Him saying, Lord, Lord, He actually tells them, depart from me, I never knew you. So there's a lot of people that will be claiming, Lord, Jesus, and find out that He was never really their Lord. They really did not have faith. They were not in Him. And He tells them to depart. So it's better for you to answer that question now than to find out one day that Jesus never knew you.
Amen.
Ask yourself, are you saved? Ask yourself, are you in Christ? So it is good to examine ourselves. And this is Paul's encouragement, or Paul's admonishment here. He says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourself. So I just want to talk about right now three legitimate concerns to whether your faith is authentic.
Amen.
Three legitimate concerns. Things that you should question and examine yourself, and maybe it'll concern you, maybe it won't, but there's something to think about. And you shouldn't be scared of it. You shouldn't be scared. If you belong to Jesus, if you truly have trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, and you've given your life to Him, and you belong to Him, and you call Him Lord for real, if this is a real faith that you have, don't be worried about asking yourself if you are. Don't be scared about examining yourself, because you should. You need to. So the first legitimate concern I want to mention is opposition and disinterest of God's Word. Romans chapter 10 says, so then faith, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and gives us a whole lot there to consider. John chapter 10 verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we could read many, many more that teach us about the Word of God and how that is the one that has this transforming power in your life. We actually read a few right before, whenever we read in Peter, that he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God. Right. And so the Word of God is what actually causes faith in you and gives you the faith that causes you to believe in Jesus Christ, that is for the saving of your soul. And so when you examine yourself and find that you are constantly opposed to the Word of God, or that you are not interested in the Word of God, this should cause some concern in yourself as to whether you have saving faith or not.
Amen.
This is completely legitimate. If you're not aligned with the Word of God, then your faith is faulty. And listen, this is why showing unbelievers, especially religious ones, showing them the scriptures is so powerful. Because you see, unbelievers, they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And especially religious ones that are just following a religion blindly don't really know the Word of God. When you open up the Word of God to them and show them what it really means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you show them what the Bible really says about almost any topic, and they see it, they can be astounded and really want to change. Because the Word of God in a believer's heart will produce change.
Amen.
And so if you are not interested in the Word of God, or you're constantly opposing the Word of God, then you should question your faith. It's logical. It's reasonable. It's a legitimate concern you should have when you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. How do you relate to the Word of God? What is your relationship to the Word of God? And if you're constantly opposing it and disinterested in it, then you should question how authentic your faith is. If you're constantly needing a feel good about yourself message, and you're not really interested in the Word of God, then I think that's a legitimate question. Hey, where is my faith founded on? We're in a time where our social media just abounds in feel good, positive, messages. And listen, these are not good, bad, right? We like the feel good, positive, encouraging, and getting all these things message. But if that's what your faith is rooted in, then that's not a strong faith, and you need to make sure your faith is rooted in the Word of God. And it could be a sign that your faith is not rooted in the Word of God when you have to constantly get built up by these feel-good messages that are not rooted in the Word of God, because you're looking for something to confirm the security that you could find only in the Word of God. And so that's just something that you should really consider, is what your interest in the Word of God is. Another point to this, as far as opposition of the Word of God, if you're fighting constantly, continually, you're fighting against the written Word, then you should question whether you have real faith. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you're unrepentant, you're not wanting to align yourself to the Word. Basically, if you're going through something in life and somebody can come up to you and say, hey, did you know what the Bible says? And if you start reading the Bible, you see what the Bible says, or somebody shows you what the Bible says, or somebody stands up in the open meeting and preaches some verse, and you know what it says, and it hits you, and you just feel like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to mess up my life or change my life. I'm not going to change what I'm doing. I'm not going to change how I act. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let the Bible change the way I live. You should be concerned about your faith.
Amen.
Sorry, it's just a legitimate concern that you should have. And listen, we're talking to you, or I'm talking to myself, you're talking to yourself at this moment. This isn't a moment to be looking over your shoulder and thinking, yeah, you hear that? Like we like to do a lot of times. Paul says, examine yourselves. There's no need to go around examining everybody else right now. Right now, examine yourself. How do you act when the Word of God is presented in your life? Do you desire for it to change you? Do you desire to want to live by what it says? Do you desire to follow the example it gives and what it tells you to do and how you should change your life? Do you just want to mold your life to what the Bible tells you? Or could you care less what the Bible has to say? That's a legitimate concern.
Amen.
You should have when you're examining yourself, whether you're in the faith. So opposition and disinterest of God's word, I think that's a legitimate concern to have. And again, this deals with whether you are in Jesus Christ. That's the question. The question isn't if you can lose the salvation that you already have. The question is not if the salvation that Christ provides is good enough or not, or strong enough, or powerful enough. That's not the question. The question is, are you in Jesus Christ? Do you have saving faith? Faith that is real. And this is Paul. Paul is concerned. Paul is concerned throughout a lot of books. He's like, in Hebrews, he's concerned about these people. He's wondering if they really truly have faith. In 1 Corinthians, he's wondering, he's questioning, right? Hey, he gives us the gospel message at the beginning of 15, and he's wondering if you've believed in vain. Because he doesn't want you to be one of those that believes in vain. And you're walking around thinking and pretending that you're a believer when you're not really a believer. And so he tells us, examine yourselves. And this is one, I think, a legitimate concern that you can have when you're examining your faith. Another one would be the absence of genuine fruits. So I think what transforms the life of a believer, right, is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost actually lives and abides in you. This is what happens when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. This is the transforming power that makes you a son of God. This is what makes you born again, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has a lot of ways of interacting with it. And I think one of those is that when the Word of God is preached or taught or read, that the Holy Ghost is going to push us to change.
Amen.
Now, this doesn't mean that you never go against or resist what the Bible says. Not necessarily. Everybody goes through a moment of maybe some little rebellion or a little bit of resistance. But the truth is that it should cause repentance. If you don't see any repentance after the Word of God is presented to you, especially repeatedly, then that's when you should very much question, because the Holy Ghost should be pricking at your heart telling you that you need to align your life to the Word of God. And if you have the Holy Ghost, then there's another thing that it should be showing you and proving to you in your life, and that is that it should be producing fruits. It should be producing fruit in your life. Matthew 7:16, right? He tells us that ye shall know them by their fruits. But let's go to a few here in John. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." There's a point of bearing fruit that should manifest itself in the life of the believer. And so when you examine your faith, again, this is you examining your faith and questioning, is my faith real? Is my faith authentic, genuine? Is my faith really placed in Jesus Christ? Have I believed God? Well, you can ask yourself, do I have fruit? Is there fruit in my life? Now, you're the one that's going to really have to analyze that and examine that. But there should be fruit in your life to give you this confidence. See, if you're looking for confidence in your salvation, if you're having anxiety and always questioning, maybe living in fear of, am I saved? Can I lose my salvation? You need to examine yourself. And when you examine yourself and you don't find that there's any fruit in your life, then no wonder you're fearful. No wonder you're questioning. No wonder you're anxious. Because the fruit of the Spirit should be manifesting in your life. And so what happens is whenever you see that, no, God has been working in my life and there's so much fruit that has come out of it, then that can give you confidence that your faith is real. So there's, first of all, I think there's fruits of the Spirit, which really, you know, we should be able to see growing in our lives. And Jesus says here, he mentions one of those, and that is love. And he says that all men will know that you are my disciples if ye have love one toward another. So you should know, you should feel, you should see that you are a believer in Jesus Christ when love is real in your life. If you just honestly don't care about anybody else and you could care less and you don't want to help, you don't want to do anything for anybody else. If you really are just seeking your own interest throughout all your days, you should question whether you have faith in Jesus Christ. Because he says, others are going to know, and I think you also will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. And so I think you should consider your relationship to other believers. Other believers, you know, you should not be always seeking the worst in others, seeking something bad in others. Just go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And guess what happens? If you have the Word of God, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you are saved, you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let it work in your life and produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. How about love for souls? I think that's a fruit that should be manifested in the life of a true believer. You see, when you're a true believer, you want to let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You should desire to be attracting other people to God. You should desire for other people to have what you have. That's naturally expected, right? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have saving faith, then you want others to have it too. And if you find yourself in a position where you have not really cared or been interested in the salvation of other people, then I think that's a legitimate concern to whether you have authentic faith. Now, like I said, it could be that you've just kind of gotten cold on a lot of these subjects. But then what should happen is whenever the Word of God is taught and when you read about it and something should burst up in your soul saying, yes, that's what I long for. And you should follow it and you should follow after it. But they are legitimate concerns to authentic faith. The opposition of God's Word, the absence of genuine fruits are legitimate concerns. And I'm going to mention another one. And that is departure from the faith. And this is that Christians, that true believers, true faith is going to continue on. True faith isn't the one that is going to draw back, like Hebrews says. We are not of them that draw back. We're of them that continue on. And so if you find yourself in a position where you no longer believe in Jesus Christ, you no longer believe in God, you no longer have faith, then that's a legitimate concern to wonder if you ever were full of real faith. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. And I think this is another thing that the Spirit would put in you. If you are honestly a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit is not going to want to just walk away from Christ and forget completely about Him. That would cause you to really have a legitimate concern whether you have real faith. Now, there's a lot of things that can make you question, you know, and people will get to, and there's going to be people that try. And I think the devil is very interested in trying to get people to question whether God is real or not. And, you know, maybe somebody comes up with a really good question and makes you think, hey, is God real? Oh, can you really believe in the Bible? Can you really trust what you have in your hands? And you may go through seasons or moments of doubt or of wonder or of consideration. But the Spirit should be bringing you back to believing the truth, to believing the Word of God, and trusting in who He is and His work. Because that's what a true believer does. That's what real faith causes. It causes continuance. We are those that continue, right? Those that don't continue with us, it's because they never were. Of us is what he says there. And you can see more of that. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, there's some things, I think right now, that are just bombarding everybody so that they won't have real faith and they're going to depart from what the truth is. And you need to consider. You need to consider your faith. And if it's real, if it's based on the truth, if it's based on the Word of God, if it's actually laboring and working in your life to produce the fruit that it should be, these are all things that you have, tools that you have in order to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith or not. And so, I'm not saying you should never question whether you're saved, right? The security of the believer, the point isn't like, never question anything, just blindly follow it and think you're fine, you're okay. That's not the point. The point is, you need to know the work of Jesus Christ, and you need to know the transforming power of Jesus Christ, and you need to recognize that that is obsolete. There's no changing that. Jesus Christ is effective. But you should question whether you have placed real faith in Him or not. Whether your faith is genuine and authentic or not. The power and effectiveness of Christ's saving work should never be in question. Your faith in Him is what should be examined. And it may be a little scary to do, right? Ooh, examine your faith. But what are you going to do? What else are you going to do besides examine it? It needs to be examined. You need to examine your faith right now before it's too late. So just remember that as a caterpillar cannot return to its former state once it's transformed into a butterfly, well, being born again in Christ brings an irreversible impact. And our lives are forever changed, and our eternal destiny is secured. So salvation is not something that you should be worried about losing. It is something you need to make sure you have. And I would encourage everybody to do that in this room. Everybody should consider and examine your own self. Are you in the faith? And trust completely in Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, listen, there's only one thing that can save you. There's only one thing that can rescue you from damnation. There's only one thing that can transform and give you eternal life. And that's the work of Jesus Christ. And boy, is that the best thing you can ever find in life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. And so that's who we're here to recognize today. We're here to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and trust in Him completely. And if you have any questions or doubts about that, then please talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that can show you what the Bible says, and we are willing to go through it with you. So right now we're going to dismiss this part. We're going to go over to the baptistry, and we're going to baptize Etienne. And after that, we'll be dismissed. So let's go ahead and go over to the baptistry.